His Eminence will see you now, Captain Athrawes. Thank you, Father, Merlin said, as the under-priest opened the door to Archbishop Michael's office and bowed the visitor through it. Sunlight poured through the window that looked out across Telesburg to the broad blue waters of the harbor. A dense forest of masts and yards grew out of the waterfront. Birds and wyverns rode the updrafts, hovering gracefully as the thoughts of God, and weather-stained sails dotted the harbor beyond them. Stainair's office was located on the lofty, for safehold, Archbishop's Palace's third floor, and Merlin could see down into the busy streets where people, dragon-drawn freight wagons, and horse-drawn streetcars seethed and bustled. Sajan Merlin, Stainair greeted him, holding out his ring hand with a smile. How nice to see you again. And so very unexpected, I'm sure, Your Eminence, Merlin murmured as he brushed his lips across the proffered ring.
No, not unexpected, Stainair acknowledged.
He sat back down behind his desk, and a wave of his hand invited Merlin to sit in the comfortable chair on the far side of it. He continued to smile as his guest settled into the chair, but the smile had turned a bit more tense, Merlin observed. May I assume, Your Eminence, that any conversation you and I might have here today won't be overheard by other ears?
Of course you may, Stainair frowned slightly. My staff understands that unless I specifically tell them otherwise, any conversation I have in this office is as privileged as any other confession.
I was reasonably confident that was the case, Your Eminence. Under the circumstances, however, I felt I had no option but to be certain of it.
I suppose that's understandable enough, Stainair conceded, and I'm quite aware that Jean and I handed you a rather significant surprise, shall we say, yesterday?
Oh, you could certainly describe it that way, Your Eminence, Merlin smiled dryly.
And I'm sure you have questions, Stainair continued. Under the circumstances, I think it might be simpler for you to just go ahead and ask them, rather than having me attempt to explain everything.
I imagine that explaining everything is going to take considerably more than a single afternoon, Merlin said, and Stainair actually chuckled. Very well, then, Your Eminence, Merlin continued. I suppose my first question has to be why St. Gernot's journal and the other documents with it weren't simply destroyed or handed over to the Inquisition when they were finally rediscovered.
Partly because they weren't rediscovered at all, Sajan Merlin.
Stainair leaned back in his chair, crossing his legs.
The Brethren of St. Gernot always knew exactly where all of them were. We simply didn't know what they were. St. Gernot and St. Evelyn left them sealed, with solemn directions for the Brethren to leave them that way for 350 years after their deaths. Their instructions were followed to the letter.
And the reason they weren't simply destroyed or regarded as the most heinous possible heresy when they were unsealed?
There, I think, you see the planning, or the impact at least, of St. Gernot, Stainair said seriously. Most of the religious philosophy and thought of St. Gernot and St. Evelyn was as orthodox as Mother Church could possibly have asked. For reasons which make perfectly good sense, I'm sure, now that you've had an opportunity to read his journal. You did read it overnight, didn't you, Sajan?
Yes, I did. Merlin regarded the Archbishop with a speculative gaze.
I assumed that was why you examined each page individually at St. Gernot's, Stainair murmured.
Merlin cocked an eyebrow, and the Archbishop smiled slightly.
The ability of the Sajan to memorize things at a glance is part of their legendary prowess. In fact, I rather suspect that was one of the reasons you decided to become one.
I see. Merlin leaned back in his own chair and rested his elbows on its upholstered arms, steepling his fingertips across his chest. Please, Your Eminence, continue with your explanation.
Of course, Seijin.
Steiner agreed with a slightly ironic nod.
Let me see, where was I? Ah, yes, the single aspect in which St. Geno's teachings departed from the mainstream of church thought was the fashion in which he and St. Evelyn both emphasized tolerance and toleration so strongly and made it so central to their thought. The responsibility of all godly people to see other human beings as their true brothers and sisters in God, to reason and remonstrate with those who might be in error rather than condemning without seeking to understand, and to be open to the possibility that those who disagree with them may, in fact, prove in the end to be correct, or at least closer to correct than they themselves had been at the beginning of the disagreement.